We won't look at every chapter and verse, but I do want us to take in the major themes of this book. The title of the sermon series comes from Proverbs chapter 8, verse 11, which says, "Wisdom is more precious than rubies, and nothing you desire can compare with her." And so let's pray. God of all wisdom, please give us your wisdom now as we listen to your word. Please equip us with wisdom for life. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, in 1998, a group of primary school students in America heard about people in Sudan being captured and sold as slaves. And so, with the help of their teachers, they decided to do something about this. They started raising money to free people who have been caught in slavery. And they sent their money through an organization, and this organization would contact the slave traders, and they would buy captives for between $50 and $100 and then set them free. And no doubt, many of the 8,000 people who were set free in this way were grateful for the love and the concern that these school children showed. But after a while, people began to realize that something wasn't working. Because by increasing the demand in the slave economy, the business of the slave traders began to boom. And there was an increase in the number of raids on villages. And then more people were being taken into slavery. And a typical raiding party grew from 400 people in 1995 to 2,500 people by 1999. And not only this, but they found that some groups of people began to pretend to be kidnapped in order to go and approach the Americans and collect their $100 per person. So what went wrong here? Clearly, the children and the teachers and the organization they were working through, clearly they all had very good intentions. But they didn't predict how others would respond to their actions. They had good intentions, but what they didn't have was enough wisdom. Let me give you another example. This one's an imaginary example, but a realistic. Imagine you've got a Christian who is grieving the unexpected loss of a loved one. And so, over morning tea after church, a well-meaning brother decides to go and cheer them up. And the brother comes and gives a short lecture about the sovereignty of God and how God's in control of everything. And he says, "So hang in there, don't be sad, everything works out for the best." And then that well-meaning brother goes home feeling like he's done a good deed today. But the grieving person goes home feeling judged, feeling like maybe there's something wrong with them because their grief is so heavy. Now, again, what's happening here? The Christian brother is sincerely trying to help, but without really understanding what a grieving person needs. And so today's sermon title is "Good Intentions, Wisdom Needed." See, if the Christian life is all about love, then Christian wisdom is the ability to love effectively. We need to understand ourselves. We need to understand others. We need to understand our culture and the world around us so that we're able to do the right thing at the right time, in the right manner, and in the right place. So I think it will be good for us to start working through this book of Proverbs, which is all about wisdom. Today, I want to introduce this book. Well, actually, the book introduces itself. So I'm going to walk us through the first six verses. And then I'll offer some thoughts on what it might mean to read Proverbs from a Christian perspective before leaving you with a take-home challenge. Okay, Proverbs chapter 1, verse 1 tells us that this book comes from a wise man. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. And we read just now in 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 5, that when Solomon was a young king, when he just started in this job, God offered him more or less a blank check. God said, "Solomon, ask for what you want me to give you." And Solomon wisely asked for wisdom. He said, "Give me wisdom to be a good and a fair king." And God was delighted to give him what he asked for, so that we read in that second reading, from all nations people came to listen to Solomon's wisdom. He was the wisest guy of his time. And this book is a collection of sayings that Solomon gathered up. Some of what's in this book would have already been common sayings in ancient Israel that he wrote down. And no doubt some of this book is Solomon's own observations about life and about how life works. Verse 2 says that, well, he's written it down so that we can get wisdom. So how do you get wisdom? Some of our wisdom comes from our own life experience, as we experience how this world works. We learn from our mistakes, we learn from our successes, but probably mostly we learn from our mistakes. However, as Eleanor Roosevelt once said, we also need to learn from the mistakes of others, because you can't live long enough to make them all yourself. And so this book is an opportunity to learn from others and to learn from a great collector of wisdom. And you'll see that there's different sections in the book where it says, I got this from this guy and I got this from this guy. Verse 3 makes it clear that the wisdom in this book is intended to equip us to live our daily lives. It says, verse 3, it's for receiving instruction in prudent behaviour, for doing what is right and just and fair. Now that word prudent, it means you think about how my actions today are going to impact me and others in the future. So, see, wisdom, what is wisdom? Wisdom's not the same as skill. One of the most skillful musicians of the 20th century was Jimi Hendrix, brilliant guitarist. He was voted Pop Musician of the Year at age 25. And yet his brother says the more famous he got, the less happy he became. There was a time where he was the world's highest paid performer, and yet he couldn't manage money. It was reported that he didn't know how much he had in the bank or even which bank his money was in. And so even though he was bringing in all this money, frequently he had to borrow from people around him just to meet his daily expenses. And then tragically, Jimi Hendrix died at age 27 of a drug overdose. He was so skillful, but he didn't know how to manage life. He wasn't able to make wise decisions about life. So wisdom's different from skill. In a similar way, wisdom is also different from intelligence. I mean, if you had to pick the most intelligent guy of the 20th century, who would you say? Smartest guy of the 20th century. Surely, Albert Einstein. And yet when it came to physics, amazing. When it came to family, letters have emerged in recent years which show that he had a disastrous marriage. He had multiple affairs. And then towards the end of his marriage, he drew up a contract with his wife where he demanded certain things, including, number one, she must provide him with clean clothes and meals and a clean house. And number two, she must not expect any personal relations with him, including agreeing to stop talking if he requested it at any moment. And so she divorced him. Very intelligent, not very wise. I do realise I've shared quite a few negative examples, but isn't that the world we live in? Don't we live in a world which is lacking wisdom? There's so much knowledge out there, but how do we use it? How do we live effective lives and have effective relationships? If we lived in a world full of wise people who lived prudent lives, who knew how to do what is right and just and fair, we wouldn't need books of wisdom like this. We wouldn't need to live lives where we constantly pray to God and ask for wisdom. Verse 4 tells us this book is especially for the young, because we're not born with wisdom. Here's an interesting thing. Research indicates that brain development continues into your mid-20s. It's not until you're a young adult that there are parts of your brain that recognize danger that are fully mature. Car insurance companies know about this. That's why if you're under 25, you pay more for car insurance. And so this is a book for the young, especially written for young men. 24 times in this book of Proverbs, it says, "My son." I mean, you can see it on your page there. Verse 8, "Listen, my son, to your father's instruction." And so if this is coming from King Solomon, and so much of it he's saying, "My son, my son, my son," then it seems quite likely that this book was compiled as some sort of life training textbook for the young princes in the palace to prepare them to be wise kings who can lead in a way which is right and just and fair. And if you remember that, it'll help you make sense of why the book is written in the way it is. So, for example, why is it that there's a chapter on how to choose a good wife, chapter 31, but there isn't a chapter for women on how to choose a good husband? Well, it makes sense if this was written for the young men who are in training to be kings. It doesn't mean that the rest of us, that the women and the older people here, can't also benefit from this book. Because look what it says in verse 5. It says, "Let the wise listen and add to their learning." So I think what's going on here is that the rest of us are invited to listen in on this conversation between father and son, between king and prince, so that we can all learn from it and apply it to our own situations in life. Because what wise people do is they keep on learning. They keep on listening. The fool, verse 7 says, despises wisdom. Says, "Oh, wisdom, I don't need wisdom." The fool thinks he knows enough already. Well, if I know everything, what more could there be possibly for me to learn? But wise people approach life going, "You know what? I have such little wisdom." Wise people are always searching for more. And if we aren't actively gaining wisdom, then we're actually quite possibly sliding back into foolishness. Because do you know the story of the life of King Solomon? It's very ironic. When King Solomon grew old, he stopped listening to his own advice. The book of 1 Kings shows us that Solomon, in his old age, made many foolish decisions, and there were consequences of this for his whole nation. The story of King Solomon is a story which shows us that as God's people, what we need is we need a king who is even wiser than Solomon. And I'll get back to that in a minute. The final reason that we need this book is that it doesn't just contain wisdom, it also teaches a method for gaining wisdom. That's what verse 6 says. It's for understanding proverbs and parables, the sayings and riddles of the wise. That's helpful, because let's face it, the world today has a whole lot of specific challenges that didn't exist in 1000 BC when this book was written. Like today, we need wisdom in the way we use our phones. Our phones can be used wisely to promote good communication and connection with people that we love. Or our phones can take over our lives and make us waste our days in either trivial things or harmful things. We need wisdom in the way we manage our mortgage repayments and our vehicle maintenance and our superannuation and health insurance. There's a whole lot of specifics that we're dealing with that Solomon didn't have to deal with. And there's no shortage of information out there. In fact, probably one of our problems today is too much information. Like get on ChatGPT and you've instantly got any number of opinions about how we should manage our lives. But we need a way to filter all this information in some way. We need to be able to distinguish what's helpful advice, what's unhelpful advice. Well, all this information, what's it for? Can you see how we need wisdom in order to gain wisdom? I said earlier on that wisdom, okay, it's not the same as skill. It's not the same as intelligence. Wisdom is something that lies behind and between those things. The late Tim Keller, who was a Presbyterian minister in New York, he said, wisdom in the Bible is a lot closer to what today people call emotional intelligence. And you grow in emotional intelligence by approaching people and situations with humility and with a desire to learn how people tick rather than coming in and thinking we know it all already. I think this book of Proverbs will be really helpful. And like the rest of the Old Testament, we want to read it as Christian scripture. See, I mentioned the failures of Solomon the king, his failure to continue in the ways of wisdom. Well, the rest of the Old Testament after the book of Proverbs is really the story of how Solomon's sons and how those who came after his sons were also not very wise and not very just or fair rulers. The prophets saw the foolishness of their own kings and began looking forward to another king to come. And as the prophet Isaiah looks forward, God says through him, there is a servant that I will send, and my servant will act wisely. When Jesus, the son of David, the son of Solomon, when Jesus comes on the scene, one of the things that people notice is they say, wow, this is amazing. What's this wisdom that has been given him? See, Jesus, if this is all about a son who needs to take in the wisdom of his father, well, Jesus is the true son of David, who truly takes in the wisdom of his heavenly father. As it says in Colossians, in Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And so now, Now that Christ has been to the cross, he's risen again, he's ascended to the right hand of his Father. I think today's Ascension Day, 6 days, 6 weeks after Easter. Now that all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to Jesus, the Son, the true King, then part of us trusting him in our daily lives is trusting that he knows what he's doing with us and with this world. And so as we read this book, we're not only looking for instructions about what we should do or not do, but we're also wanting to appreciate the wisdom of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. And so, dear friends, do you have good intentions in life? I'm sure you do. But if you want to make the best of these good intentions, then you need to keep growing in wisdom. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 7 says, "Wisdom is supreme. Therefore, get wisdom. Though it cost all you have, get understanding." What about you? Are you living a wisdom-seeking life? Are you always learning? Let me leave you with a suggestion. There's an English proverb which says, "An apple a day," can you finish it? "An apple a day." I remember when I was young, our pastor observed that there's 31 chapters in the book of Proverbs and there's 31 days in most months. And so he said, "A chapter of Proverbs a day keeps the devil away." And that's wise. Maybe some of you might take up that challenge at some point over the winter. However, I don't want to dump a whole chapter a day reading program on you, because if you're wise, you'll already be working through some sort of reading program of the Bible. And I don't want you to throw away what you're already doing. And so here's a much more modest proposal. In your newsletter, there's a handout where I've just selected 31 proverbs from this book on a whole range of topics. And so why not stick this on your fridge door? And every morning when you open the fridge to get the milk for your coffee, take a moment to read one proverb. So today it's the 25th of May, number 25. "Whoever would foster love covers over an offence, but whoever repeats the matter separates close friends." And then each day, take some time to think about how that little jewel of wisdom is going to help you to love Jesus and live effectively for Jesus. So sometimes the proverbs, they're almost like little riddles, and you need to throw them around in your mind, and you need to use your imagination and imagine that the situations that it might be talking about. Friends, you need wisdom. I need wisdom. Let's keep praying for wisdom. Let's keep searching God's word for wisdom, because we want to live effectively for Jesus' kingdom. We want to love others effectively. And so we need God's wisdom in our lives. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you are the source of all wisdom. You know how life works, how we work. Father, we thank you that you have given us every reason to love you and to love each other, and we pray that you would help us. We pray that you will teach us to do this wisely and effectively. Father, we pray that you will help us, that you will, by your Holy Spirit, you will give us the wisdom that we need for this week ahead. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.